The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash, a roundtable of Cowboys insiders dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys. Now, your host, Nui Scruggs.
Here we are, Dallas Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, California. It is Media Mash episode number 2. I'm Nui Scruggs, joined by Nick Eatman of DallasCowboys.com, Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan, and John Machota of The Athletic. So, the great Will McClay spoke to the media, I should say the writers, and the radio TV left out, so I'm out in the cold.
Okay.
So I need to know.
How's that one-on-one you got with Jerry there, matches?
Good? Well, make sure. Because
I don't think that's happened yet. I'm still holding out.
Yeah. It all evens out.
No, it doesn't. It does, but that's okay. I'm not bitter like that.
Yeah, you don't sound bitter.
I'm not petty like that. If I was petty, I'd be like Calvin Watkins and ran and told PR, how couldn't they get there? And we don't. But
we're just putting that out there, huh?
Yeah.
And we can't leave anything for
are we live
behind the scenes?
Yes. No, baby. That's the fun part of this. It's all love, as Clarence would say, right? All love.
I love the word petty. I've heard that before, but it's okay. No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, good.
I don't know what you're talking about. John Machota, what will McClay say?
Well, one thing for sure is that they're not content with what they have at kicker right now. So they're bringing in 4 kickers. Brett Maher, who obviously would be the one that Cowboys fans would know the most just because he had been with the Cowboys before.
Correct.
Can't tell you a ton about Cole Murphy, Matt Amendola, or J.J. Molson, but they're also in the mix. And, they're not going to keep – it's not like they're bringing in 4 other guys and then all of a sudden we're going to go out there tomorrow and there's going to be 6 kickers on the team. There's only going to be 2. And so – that means if they like one of these guys more, then Jonathan Garibay's out. And I just think that would be interesting because he was the guy all offseason. We thought, this is going to be the guy that, they signed him right after the draft. He had the success at Texas Tech. This is the guy that's going to end up getting the job, and now it's at the point now where you're like, I don't know if this guy is even going to be on the team in a couple of days.
So I was checking out what Michael Gelkin wrote over the Dallas Morning News. Matt Amendola hit 68.4% of his field goals with the Jets last year. Cole Murphy was with the USFL, hit 91.7%. And then J.J. Molson, UCLA grad, no NFL experience. So that's what we've got going on there. And then Brett Maher was with the Saints last year. And, of course, Cowboy fans know him very well. Bobby, what else was said?
Specifically on that kicking thing real quick, the exact quote there from Will that I thought was interesting was, we've kind of gotten the sugarcoating a little bit on the kicking situation every time we've asked about it. Will's direct quote was, the kicking hasn't been to the level that we want. And I think that was the most direct thing there. He talked about a lot of the undrafted free agents, impressive Marquise Bell, Dennis Houston. Everybody around here seems to be really impressed with Dennis Houston, the wide receiver out of Western Illinois, and all the opportunities that he's been able to get out here. I gotta be honest, I haven't totally seen the Dennis Houston hype yet, but everybody around here seems to be really, really impressed with him. And then he talked about Tyler Smith and how Tyler Smith has been really impressive with the learning curve coming along on the mental side, the physical side. And I thought the interesting thing out of there was, we'd asked him, should we read anything to the fact that Connor McGovern is getting these reps first every single day? And he was like, nope, absolutely not. He's like, that's just the way that we're rolling through the reps. Don't read into that at all.
Nick, I want to jump into you with this, with the wide receivers and Dennis Houston. You've been out here talking with a lot of the other players and quarterbacks and coaches about what they like in Dennis Smith from Western Illinois and Western Illinois, which produced Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, you just said Dennis Smith, Dennis Houston.
Houston, I'm sorry. Well, I think of Dennis Smith, the basketball player.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think that's
– thank you.
No, and I didn't mean to call you out.
No, that's true.
He's still at that point. He's still undrafted number 3. That's not going to be number 3 if he makes the team. I'm with Bobby on this one. I see him out there, and I think he's really smart. And I know what Dak said about him, and so I think that's helping him. I don't see all these plays that he's making. I think Noah Brown has been way better. I think Vasher has been a little bit better, and maybe Fajoco as well. So it's a cool story, and you know, it's a tough position to play, especially from the speed of the game, Western Illinois. But I think I haven't seen it as much. What I see is him lining up with the first team, which means he's doing something right back in the meeting rooms, and he's doing something right. He's where he's supposed to be. But we're not talking about leading off SportsCenter with plays here.
Okay. I think what's interesting about that, though, is that just shows, like, we watch this all the time and we know football, but we also don't know on every single play how many times guys run wrong routes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're going to stop the play and be like, media, over here, Tolbert, wrong route. Like, we don't technically know. It all looks fluid because of what they're doing. But whether you're talking to Robert Prince, the new wide receivers coach, or Dak, or whatever, everybody says that he's always in the right place.
Yeah.
And if that wasn't something that stood out, like, everybody wouldn't be on the same page,
right,
saying this. So it clearly makes me think of, with especially young receivers, there must be a lot of times out there that we don't even know it, and a guy just runs the absolute wrong route and is not in the right spot.
One of the 88s used to do that sometimes. Sometimes. I mean, yeah, it happened. One of them.
I'll piggyback off what you said, Machota, because we had the opportunity to talk to the backup quarterback today. So I asked Will Greer about Houston, and I also asked Cooper Rush, and they both said the same thing. He's where he's supposed to be, and as a quarterback, that matters. And knowing that these guys had been working with him heavy at the OTAs, because he was the backups first, and then Isaiah Stanback, who also works here for DallasCowboys.com, had said, hey, Dak likes him, and so if a quarterback likes a guy, he's like, that matters. And obviously, Nick, you've been coming out here forever today since they've been coming to Oxnard. We didn't see a whole lot of all Oxnard.
Okay? Yeah, we have. We've seen some of them. Yeah.
You know, I'll always think of Danny Amendola. I mean, he was the captain of my all Oxnard team. Went out there to San Diego, dropped a punt, and didn't, you know, he just was not good when the lights came on. And so, but right now, to me, Mr. Houston is on that all Oxnard.
Weren't you right about Amendola, though? He had a nice little career.
Right. I mean, you were right about him.
Yeah.
But it went from the Eagles, and the Eagles let him go, then to St. Louis, and then on. But
he bounced around a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it took him a minute.
Yeah.
But we
saw him in the Super Bowl. I know that.
I was in Arizona. I saw him in the Super Bowl. I was like, is that guy the Cowboys cut? But just that whole thing of we what's the word? Anointing oil that Bill used to say? The anointing oil.
You know, the thing is that we could sit there and kind of press that even more. Like, why did they – not keep him? And then it's like, well, you know, they kept Stan back, and you know, Isaiah's our guy. You know, that's part of it. I don't even know some of the other guys. T.O. was still on the team in 08. I want to say one more thing about that McClay said I thought was interesting. Sure. About Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
And I know we talked this morning about Trayvon, Bobby, about, you know, some of the narrative here that he's given up plays or even gave up plays last year. What was the exact quote of why people say that and give Diggs a hard time?
Clickbait. That's what he said. He just said clickbait. David Hellman said, that's it. He goes, clickbait.
Clickbait.
And then he expanded a little bit more. But, I mean, yeah, he basically just boiled it down to that's clickbait. People who are, you know, overly critical of Trayvon Diggs, that they're just trying to get their traffic, and that it's not the reality, that he's as good as his accolades say he is.
I know the people at Pro Football Focus do a good job. They work really hard. My only point, though, about defensive backs is that there's no way they know what the assignment is supposed to be. They don't. There's no way.
Preach.
Yep. I mean, now you can say the guard, did he block his guy? Does he block him the whole game? I get it. But the safety, I mean, how do you know what his coverage was? You know, and how do you know what the cornerback is supposed to do? It's really tough to say that. And I don't think that their grading system is fair. I mean, giving up a play and getting 11 interceptions, I mean – damn. I mean,
yeah. What is the interception? Like, yeah. What's the interception worth? Because it doesn't seem like it's worth as much as it probably should be.
Right.
Because if it was, then why aren't there other guys that have 10, 11 interceptions? You
not
know?
Not just the interception, but also the two pick sixes, and you know, when
taking
you
their
take
best
away,
guy.
Yeah, you take off, you know, field position, and you know, these are, he was getting crushed while also at the same time, you know, there were two games last year where he completely shuts down Terry McLaurin, for instance, mm-hmm. and then he's so.
What do you think is Jefferson? What he did against Jefferson, I mean, on Halloween on Sunday Night Football in Minnesota was doggone
impressive. Still Justin Jefferson's worst career game was the one he played against Trayvon Diggs that day. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the criticism of Trayvon Diggs is way too harsh, and I think just some of those viral clips. Look, it's great that, you know, we get the access that we do and that the fans get the access that they do, and we can share that on social media and stuff like that. But, like, it needs to be put in context a lot of times. They see that isolated clip and they go, oh, Trayvon Diggs is trash. And there's this whole chorus of people who are waiting to say, ah, I told you so about Trayvon Diggs, that they're jumping on at the first chance they can in a drill that honestly is always going to favor the wide receiver. Those one-on-ones are always going to make the receiver look better.
That's also a lot of fans from other teams, because he's a Dallas Cowboy,
sure,
that they want to point out, hey, look, this guy, your guy isn't as good as you think he is. Yeah, you can
just
find
go to the Philly side. Right. Like, oh, he's getting cooked. He's barbecued out there. Wait till AJ gets a hold of him. I mean, the Philly fans are having a ball with him.
Absolutely. I mean, and you see it with, okay, so for what I see on social media, I feel like you see it most when it comes to the Cowboys on it's Trayvon Diggs or Dak Prescott, because no one's going to say anything about Micah, because everybody knows that Micah is just all everything. So they don't really, they find whatever Dak does wrong, whatever Trayvon Diggs does wrong, that's what a lot of the other fans like to jump in on, and the Cowboys have an enormous fan base, and so there's a lot of people to, you know, poke and kind of dry them off sides, which you like to do.
And Zeke Kelly, you know, Zeke
not
Kelly.
Necessarily with the Cowboys, but you have that in your personality a little bit. You like to poke. That opening press conference.
You're confusing me with my fraternity brother Clarence Hill.
Well, he does too, but that opening press conference, you
saying y'all look the same.
I have hair. I have no hair. Clarence is trying to decide whether he wants to keep hair or continue to lose it. But
that's why you're a good host for this, because you like to draw some people offside. You're good at it.
I can't really think of that.
I personally love drawing people offside.
Well, you
me.
Do too. Yeah. You do too. That's true.
I do.
Look,
just 5 yards.
Exactly. Yeah, just back it up 5 yards. I look at Trayvon Diggs shutting down his Twitter, and I said to someone.
Shut down quarter.
Well, that means he's got rabbit ears. And I said, no, to me that means he's smart. Because if it's getting to you, I'd rather you shut it down than the Cole Beasley route.
Yeah. No. Just don't even think about the Cole Beasley route. Go on the Taco Charlton route. Like, there are people in this organization that'll tell you, like, Taco Charlton listened way too much. And he heard way too much. I'm sure they would have loved if Taco Charlton would have shut down his social media at some point like Trayvon Diggs just did. And it's like Trayvon Diggs said up there today. When they asked about it, he said, it's toxic.
Yeah.
Just as simple as Will McClay said, clickbait. Trayvon Diggs was like, it's toxic. That's it. I don't need it.
You know, worse than Twitter sometimes is people's
circle.
Friends.
Their circle.
Because they don't tell the story right. Did you see this guy was trashing you? He said this, and this. It's like, you know, like he also said you were the best in the league, but you missed this part. You know what I mean? Because they I think sometimes relaying the story wrong, and no, I didn't hear that. And, yeah, so, I mean, that's happened for a while. Around here.
Yeah, I love Twitter, but if I was playing in the NFL, there's just no way that I would have it up. There's just, what are the positives you can get out of it? The positives I would say are probably, really, to be honest with you, it's how Dak uses social media, where it's like he'll put out some advertisement, things like that. He's not really trying to go back and forth. I know fans want the interaction with their star players and things like that, but for as many positive interactions you're going to have with, let's say, a Dak Prescott, there's just so much more negative stuff to just try and draw people off sides and just kind of get under people's skin. I don't see the benefit for a player in the prime of their career.
I love that Trayvon Diggs just said, no, shut it down. No interest in it. And if you feel it's toxic, if you feel it's negative, just get rid of it. Too many guys are concerned what other people are saying. And you truly, when you see the pros of the pros who do it, they don't worry about it. I remember a great line from Reggie Jackson, one of the all-time greatest lines ever. He says, you know what? They don't boo nobodies. They don't boo nobodies. And so he's going to get it as a corner. You're going to have days where, you know what, you get beat. That's the job. The greatest have been beat. But you know what? If you feel like this may be getting you, turn that sucker off. That way, you don't have to worry about it. Nobody in your circle needs to come to you about it. I think that's the other thing, too. You got to shut it down. Hey,
remember,
I don't want to hear it.
You remember that really good cornerback who didn't have any confidence? No, he didn't exist. He doesn't exist. And when they lose the confidence, that's the absolute worst thing. And the Cowboys had a really good one around here, Terrence Newman.
Yeah.
And I think one year, at the end of the year, his confidence went down a little bit. He ended up going and playing, what, 7-8 more years. He's a really, really good player, and it can kind of come and go. So I feel like that might be kind of happening with Trayvon a little bit, where it's affecting his thing. I've had a couple of interviews with him this year and this summer, and I can kind of tell that he's talked about that, and it bothers him. It bothers him what people, you know, say about him.
But also at the same time, I think that's something that when you talk to scouts around the league when Trayvon Diggs was coming out, That sort of, it's different. There's an extent where you don't want him to have rabbit ears, but there's also a little bit of when Diggs hears the noise a little bit, it elevates him and that they like how he kind of internalizes some of that and wants to rise above.
Okay, so let me stay with you here. Is this maybe a part of it's the first time in his college and professional career that he's heard the chirping?
Ooh, no, I think he's – you talk to people who have – who did the work on him coming out of school. Okay. He's heard it a lot all the way down to I mean, he loves his brother, but you hear it consistently. He'll say, like, I'm not Stephon's brother. I'm Trayvon. Like, gotcha. I am my own guy. And so he's heard it all the way, I think, back to high school.
They should call Reggie Miller.
Should they?
I mean, nobody ever heard a comparison.
Learn how not to win a title?
Well, but it was always about his sister. Even on draft day, I remember on draft day on TNT, they just said, you know, he's the best Miller in the family. He's not
even a better player, for sure.
It was his sister. And, you know, the guy ended up having a Hall of Fame career, but he constantly lived with that was, you know, hey, you cook me. Hey, man, you're not better than your sister, almost as good as your sister. I mean, that was the thing he dealt with. And like I said, he ended up dealing with it. But this is a part of growing up. And that's one other thing that people forget. It's not like he's been in this game 7, 8, 9 years. He's still a young player, and I just think for a second-round pick, the Cowboys hit fantastic. I mean, Nick, when's the last time they had a corner this good that they drafted?
Mel Renfro?
Mel Renfro.
I mean, Byron Jones was a
he didn't take the
corner.
Ball away. He didn't take
okay,
the ball.
Okay, okay. So in terms of taking the ball away.
No, period. He was Byron Jones was never the corner.
Not Byron Jones. Good. Byron Jones played all pro level.
Terrence Newman was better than Byron Jones.
No. Terrence Newman was really, really strong. Terrence Newman was really solid. But, I mean, Byron Jones was an all pro player in 2018. He didn't take the ball away, but they also didn't throw to that side.
Well, look who was on the other side then.
But it didn't matter.
It was Cheeto.
That defense was good.
It was bad Cheeto.
That defense was good in 2018. Byron Jones is excellent.
We will have to agree to you. Ask folks in Miami right now.
Of course, they did draft him to be a safety, though, so I don't know if that counts.
That's true. They didn't know what.
It took Chris Richard coming in here and
saying,
no,
what to do. They didn't know what to do with him. Yeah, Mel Redford. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking, Deion signed.
They've drafted some good ones.
No, they have.
Newman, Skandrick, Kevin Smith, Pop.
Pup was a good player.
Yeah.
Pup was so you know.
But you said this good, and I think you know. I think they're this good. He was really good last year. I mean, how many touchdowns did Trayvon give up? Touchdowns, like that was you, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Being the
couple.
Denver guy that just got hurt, he had a touchdown on him. I think Thielen Patrick, turned him around pretty good.
Patriot game when he had the pick six and they got burned for a touchdown.
Right against Washington, against McLaurin, up at Washington.
McLaurin didn't score a touchdown against them last year.
Are you sure? I thought McLaurin did. I thought didn't do anything.
McLaurin
in two games against
them.
He got hurt actually in one of them, and then the second one he didn't do anything.
It wasn't McLaurin then. It was another guy that went to Alabama. Someone beat him on a deep ball.
Oh yeah, right in front of us in the right.
Yeah.
Right in the end zone.
It was another Alabama guy. I want to say.
No, it
wasn't McLaurin. You're right.
You're right. He did give up a touchdown. Okay, 4 or 5. If you give up 5 touchdowns, and if you're getting twice as many interceptions as you're giving up touchdowns, I think that's a really good year.
Can't complain. Cannot complain. And I go back to, you know, I was the guy that thought they should have taken him in the first round. They ended up taking CeeDee Lamb that year and getting Diggs in the second round. So you end up with basically 2 first round talents. And so far, in my opinion, I think they both played at first round ability. These guys are really good. And Jerry and Steven have to figure out, they got to pay him. What do you pay him? And depending on the kind of season he has, if there's some regression, analytics will tell you that there should be regression off what he did last year. But I look at him as a cornerstone piece of this team and a blue-chip player on a defense that I believe only has 2 blue chips right now, Diggs and Micah Parsons.
But they are keeping the powder dry, so to speak, because of guys like Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. They know that those are 3 cornerstone pieces that they want to keep. They're going to have to pay those guys. And none of them are going to be cheap.
He can get 4. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to say, and it's not just what he does on the field. Like they believe Trayvon Diggs is part of like the attitude and culture mm-hmm. adjustment they're implementing on defense. That as you know, quiet as he is, kind of reserved as he is up here, he talks out there. They'll tell you that he talks out there, and he gets into it with people, and that's the kind of edge they want on this defense. I think they want more guys like Micah and Trayvon, not just their ability, obviously, but who they are as. You know, players on the field, their attitude and the kind of culture they bring.
I mean, he gets, let's say, 4 interceptions this year. I'm like, what a huge drop-off that would be. But he would go. He would still go into a contract negotiation maybe next year, averaging 6 a year. That'd be 18 picks in 3 years. That's really good. And I think he would probably be the highest paid corner in the league. I think.
And what's interesting about that is because you go back to Byron Jones. If Byron Jones was getting those interceptions, they would have re-signed him.
Sure.
But
sure.
That's why I'm just saying, I'm bringing this up because I think that Cowboys fans, at least some, could think that, oh, well, they're just going to do what they did with Byron Jones and just let him walk if he wants to be amongst the highest paid corners. No, they'll make this guy
amongst
the highest paid
corners. If they're going to walk, I mean, Will McClay just told us cornerback is the second hardest position to play on the football field outside of quarterback. And he's like, we couldn't say enough good things about him. If they wouldn't pay Trayvon Diggs because he's all interceptions and he gives up yards, and then they wouldn't pay Byron Jones because, well, he doesn't give up yards, but he doesn't get interceptions, then they're telling us the only cornerback they will pay from here until the end of time is Deion Sanders clones. And I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's a real position they'd take.
Diggs is safe. He's going to get a second contract.
Yeah, of course.
They're not going to let him walk out of the building. Even if they franchise him, you figure it out. And they're kind of lucky because CD's got the 5 years, he's got the 4, but it'd probably be wise to try to take care of both of those players at the same time if you can, because the prices are just going up for all of these guys.
Yeah, I
got to
be careful what I say here, but I think if you get Diggs locked up, you could help yourself in other areas at other positions, maybe down the road. That's why people are going to draft Bronny. At some point, someone's going to draft Bronny.
Late in the second round.
I wonder why. It is the same thing.
Do you want an assistant GM along with the player?
All I'm saying is that you lock up Trayvon,
and you might be able to get Aiden in a few years.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
thank you. That's exactly what I was. You get the family, baby. That's
there
it.
There you go.
It's just,
is there anyone else?
Keep it in the family. the family plan.
There you go.
Wasn't the old MCI friends and family? Was that the old plan back in the day? All right, Media Mass. Let's get our first break in. That's Nick Eatman of DallasCowboys.com. You got Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan, and John Machota, the Athletic. I'm Newey Scruggs. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel, attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls? With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, ShaveLogic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
Back to Media Mash.
Here we are, Media Mash, episode number 2 of the season, live from Dallas Cowboys training camp in beautiful Oxnard, California. On the end. The first ever reporter for DallasCowboys.com. He is Nick Eatman. He's risen up.
I never even thought about that.
Yes, yes. Now that was.
I mean,
that's pretty prestigious.
I'm just gonna let. Yes, thank you.
Are you the first?
Yes.
I had a Mickey.
Actually, yeah. And actually, should I go there?
Yes.
Go ahead, let's go.
It's all the big four sports. It really is. The Yankees always thought they had they told Jerry Jr. this. We got the first guy. We started him right before our season in 2000. He's like, no, our guy started in 99. So we know he's the first NFL and the first over the Major League Baseball. And then hockey and NBA, they didn't even have their own writers until, like, I don't maybe even recently. I don't even know if they still do.
I think, like, early 2000s maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, their structure was completely different. All the sites looked the same and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean.
So you're the forerunner.
He's like the Dr. Dre.
Yeah, I guess so, man. I never knew that.
I will not be able to write an article because I'm just patting myself on the back here.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. But see, he's moved past. He's not just writing. Now he's the director, right? Big kahuna?
I'm a director.
A director.
Look at him trying to remain humble. He has tried white-knuckle discipline.
Not the director. I mean, going to that tent over there.
What's the title on the tag say?
Oh, you know, badges don't really matter around here.
Can you read
these, sir? Badges.
Director of editorial content.
Okay.
And he's up for, what, two or is it three Emmys here in a couple weeks?
God, you're doing it again. Four.
See, look at it, baby. Look at it. So we're blessed to have Nick Heatman on the show today.
Right.
Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan.
That's it? That's all you're going to get?
The man.
Like 5 minutes of that?
I was just saying, man, we got any exclusives here?
No. I'm just trying to level up to Nick Heatman status, that's all.
Oh, and we can rewind it back to like 7:15 a.m. this morning where over in the fan tent, and I was like, he was over helping me do this, punch this button. I mean, he's got the behind-the-scenes thing working, too.
Oh, it's engineering, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to play engineer. I'm the only one left here for the
fan. Five-tool player. Look at you, Bobby
Belt.
That's it. Five-tool player. Don't work without Bobby Belt. John Machota of The Athletic.
I tweet videos. That's all I do.
Hey, man.
The best videos,
hey,
though.
You know what, man? You
that's
my
what
guy.
I do.
The
my
absolute
guy.
Best.
John, you're my guy. You're my guy. You're the only guy I can talk college basketball with, man.
Love
you're
it,
the
man.
Only guy.
Nick, you can talk with, too, man. Nick's got a good.
Yo, have you met Rob Phillips?
Okay. The only guy ACC basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, we're there. We're there with the Carolina Duke thing.
Love
so
it.
So you guys aren't there with that. So
you don't love Survive in Advance as one of the best documentaries?
It's nice. But, you know, for me right now, I'm just reveling in the Final Four, just happened this year. You talk about petty.
I'm living
petty beyond belief right now.
Oh, it wasn't just the Final Four. It was the retirement party that y'all put out there.
I knew this was going to get like I just when I heard that Newey was hosting this show, I'm like, I don't think we'll be able to get through these shows without this being brought up.
You don't think Steve Dennis like took us in the ditch a couple times and back out?
Hey, let's you know, look, we needed to get it out of the way.
That's fine.
That's it. You know, it's
now
like Jerry.
Now he's digging ditches.
It's like Jerry with the opening press conference. Some things need to get out of the way.
Swerving to hit him.
I am merely Newey Scruggs. So, offense versus defense, that's another thing that Twitter's gone crazy with. And it's one of those things where, man, I'm like, do I fire back or not? We're out here. We see what it is. So, Nick, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
Offense versus defense, what do you make of it so far?
It's another director. I like the defense. And I understand the whole part about it's some drills are easier for the offense. Sometimes when you're doing without pads and you're only going 50%, it's easy for the defense. You get a guy coming around the corner and he's like, sack, I touch, you know, Dak's jersey, the sack. It's like, no, he's stronger than that. It wasn't a sack. But I think from the depth standpoint, O-line versus D-line, I think the D-line is much deeper, and I think you see it when you get into the second and third team drills.
Real quick, I just want to jump in. Bobby, I didn't want to cut you off here, but I just have to – I was talking about this the other day
about,
with somebody,
man.
That I love doing putting up these videos, and I feel like one out of maybe 10 or 15 that I put up are of Micah Parsons, and I think it's because of the way that the style is played out there. Because if they were playing, like, in a game type, I think it would be once every five plays would be Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just – it is not conducive out there to really show you what Micah can do. And just for an example, one play I think of all the time is when he came up from behind to strip sack Patrick Mahomes right before halftime in that game up in KC, just a freak type thing. You're just not going to ever get that. And that's when he's at his absolute best. And so it's like you have this player who could end up being the best player best defensive player in football this year. And we're out here, and it's like, yeah, obviously you see 11, but I don't know that you're getting the hype off of the actual, like, videos that a lot of people see and then the talk that we do. Like, today he had a nice interception on a one-on-one drill where he picked off Dak and just great coverage and that. But I feel like if you're playing real game speed, Micah's got a highlight like that, like, once every like 10 plays.
Yeah, I think Micah's been really, really good. It's just that same sort of thing where it's like, oh, you know, oh, it's a sack, and but they're going to keep playing through to the whistle and let the play finish itself up. But I mean, he would have ended so many plays already if this was, you know, real football. But yeah, the defense has been ahead of the offense, but that was always going to be the case. The defense was ahead of the offense second half of last year. The defense really didn't have any changes. It's the same unit kind of coming back together. They've got a, you know, different right defensive end, basically. But other than that, it's the same group. And it's another year under Dan Quinn and with these assistants. And so they have the continuity that the offense doesn't have. Dak still in 11-on-11 is trying to hit these guys down the field. And it's, you know, he's trying to find that, you know that connection. It's like you talked about before James Washington got hurt. He's like, I was overthrowing him at first. Now I'm underthrowing him. Just trying to find that, you know, that touch. And so I think they're still working that out. So the defense was always going to be ahead. But I do think the offense is starting to come along. I think the last few practices, since they got in pads, I think they've done a better job. I think specifically, even the days that the offense has had good days, though, I think the defense has been good. It's been about Dak threading the needle and receivers making tough catches. This defense is covering, that secondary is covering really, really well consistently from the first day of camp all the way up through, you know, the most recent padded practice.
I'll bring up what Danny McCray, former Cowboy safety, who I do the Players Lounge podcast with here on DallasCowboys.com radio. He says one year, when he was the Bears, he said, man, defensively, we were good. We were getting after the offense. We were like, man, we're going to have a good defense this year. And we thought, well, offense will come around. He's like, we won 5 games. he said the whole thing where the defense ahead of the offense. Oh, we'll be okay if it's even out. He's like, nah, man, it just we had a bad team. And we just kind of overlooked ourselves. And so he says that's his concern. But I do like to think, and I'm at that point in time, I trust in Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
And I do believe these guys, and, you know, for those, you guys have covered this team for a while now. I've never seen so many players talk with so much confidence about a coordinator.
Yeah.
And I just can't think of the last time, maybe when Wonstadt was here. And I covered that last year of Jimmy. That's about the last where I can think of. Whatever he was saying, we believed in.
They were like that with Norv, too, which was the same time, though.
I just talked about defense.
Oh, on defense specifically, yeah.
I mean, they liked Wade, you know, in 07. I mean, and that was a pretty good team with a pretty good defense.
Yeah, Zim was pretty well thought of, especially since it was thought that, well, you can't coach the 3-4 when Parcells got here. I mean, there are guys who still from you know, all the way back to the mid-90s up through, you know, 06 or whatever it was his last year. There's still a lot of those guys that keep in touch with him. And, you know, we talked about Terrence Newman earlier. Mike Zimmer helped extend Terrence Newman's career after he left here. I think Zimmer's somebody who's similar. But, yeah, it's definitely been a while.
And, I mean, I haven't been around as long as Nick has. I'm still getting used to the fact of the defense being better than the offense because I started covering the team in 11. So from 11 up until last year, you always had – it was like Romo and Dez and DeMarco Murray, and then it transferred into, you know, Amari Cooper and Dak and Zeke. And it was – the offense was always – like you would never even dare say. Like even if they had like one practice with defense, better be like, yeah, well, the offense will just give them – and this is actually a time where you're like, I can see this defense winning games for this team.
Yeah.
Gonna have to.
I was going to ask you guys, when we were talking about, you know, Micah standing out, because they're not sacking quarterbacks, to me, DeMarcus Lawrence has probably stood out most from the defensive line. Would you disagree with that? Or who else would you say on the defensive line has stood out to you guys?
Edge or line?
Either or.
Line, Odighizuwa.
Okay.
He's consistently getting pressure, I feel like. And then it's probably D-Law, but I don't know. Dante Fowler's really impressive. Dante Fowler gets off the snap quick. He is almost consistently, every time he's out there, he's the first guy off the ball. He causes a lot of problems. So, I mean, I think Fowler, Lawrence, Odighizuwa, they're the other guys that kind of stand out to me.
Yeah, and I might throw 92 in there, Dorrance Armstrong. Last year he had a really good camp. Quiet, but a good camp. And I guess quiet season as well, you know, when you're just looking at stats. His stats are very
career
similar.
Year, though.
Yeah, similar to what Randy did, but he, you know, just doesn't give that same excitement and freakish talent that Randy had. And that's something that they are going to miss. I mean, I think they will. We'll see who can do it. I mean, who can make that tipped interception that Randy did against Washington? That's the type of play, like a really like freakish, you know, type of play.
Tank?
Okay.
If he's healthy.
Fowler has the athleticism to do that. I just don't. It's a difference, though, between having the athleticism to do it and doing it. Because, I mean, it took a long time for Randy to translate the athleticism to the production, and that was for a lot of reasons. But, you know, it took a long time before he was wrecking games the way that he had been, you know, last year. And so Fowler's a guy who, though, has those traits.
Yeah.
So let's bring it even to the end of this, which is really more important. Can this D-line stop Leonard Fournette game one and Joe Mixon in game two?
You're right.
Because when you talked about how to beat the Cowboys last year, it was running the football. Run the football, keep Dak and company off the field, and wear down this defense. This was a defense that once they played past 30 minutes, it wasn't pretty.
If you can tell me what they're going to get out of defensive tackle, I can answer that question for you perfectly. If you tell me they're going to get something out of Bohanna or Ridgeway, Neville Gallimore's healthy now. He obviously wasn't at that time. He wasn't playing because the elbow is Odighizuwa taking another step. Where does Chauncey Golston fit? If you can tell me that they have the answers at defensive tackle, they will be fine against the run.
I think it's as much about defensive line as it is their linebackers, though, too. I mean, I think Jabril Cox.
I'm pretty confident with the linebackers.
No, but that's I am too. But I'm saying I think it's also going to be like because they need to be better. Leighton Vander Esch was not good the first half of last year. He's been great out here at training camp. He's moving around incredibly well. You know, they're still bringing Jabril Cox along pretty slowly, but that's a guy who his whole criticism coming out of school was he couldn't defend the run really. And so, I mean, I feel good about it. I feel good about what we're seeing, but that is going to have to translate just as much, I think, if you want to stop the run.
No doubt about that. The Denver game was won because Javonte Williams was just wrecking them on second and long, second and 14. He'd get 11 yards, 12 yards, totally changed those drives and changed that game. And I think San Francisco game as well. You know, they got beat up in the middle there, and I think that they tried to address that. We'll see what happens though. But you're right, both of y'all are right. You know, that front seven. You know, where is and what does Anthony Barr bring to that? He's a big physical guy.
He is big.
I'm noticing Ridgeway more since the pads have come on. Yeah. I'm noticing him more, you know, making things difficult, taking up two blockers, you know, opening things up for the linebackers. So Ridgeway's somebody that I'm counting on to contribute in that.
Well, Hannah's got to be better than him. You know, somebody that we've heard of, that we know, that they drafted, is going to get cut or traded here.
I think they think Ridgeway's better than Bohanna.
Right. And I'm just saying that's a name that's, you know. And then we didn't even mention Tristan Hill. I think Tristan Hill flashes at times as well. But he's one of those guys that I'm not saying he's one-dimensional, but he can get up the field quick. But sometimes that's when your 12-yard run right behind you opens up the lane or whatever. It's a tough balance.
Gift and the curse there. Chris, do we need another break? Okay, let's get another break. The Cowboys are going up to Denver for a practice before the preseason game. We'll get our esteemed panel's thoughts about what they'd like to see as the Cowboys visit Nathaniel Hackett, who's the head coach of the Broncos now. He's got ties to head coach Mike McCarthy. When we take this break, come back on Media Mash, Episode 2 on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go... They go, what was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, Cowboys fans, if you're thinking about attending a game this season, visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today. Stay at the team hotel, have dinner with a Cowboys legend, and experience AT&T Stadium's exclusive VIP Owners Club. Also, tour the Star, get autographs from your favorite players, and talk X's and O's with me, Mickey Spagnola. The official travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys will take care of all your travel needs. Visit CowboysTravel.com.
But Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar. You no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups. So you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King. Rule the day.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash, episode number 2, coming to you from Dallas Cowboys training camp in beautiful Oxnard, California. John Machota of The Athletic, Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan, and Nick Eatman of DallasCowboys.com. Cowboys traveling up to Denver later on in the week. Going to have a joint practice. Then they will have a game, preseason first game of the year on Saturday. So, Nick Eatman, take me into the Wayback Machine.
Oh, man.
2008.
Yeah, we did this before.
Okay, and?
And, you know, anyone that was surprised about what they saw from Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, they should have been at that practice, because Flozell Adams did the exact same thing in a fight against the Broncos, ripped some guy's helmet off, and then started swinging him. And I think it was in Hard Knocks. And that just kind of – that's what happens in these things. It's a fight. The sad part about that was it wasn't the first time he's actually done that. He did that out here 20 years ago to Ebenezer Ecubon. And Dave Campo literally lost his mind. Like, he stopped practice, and, I mean, he was so upset. Flozell had a mean streak to him like that. But that's what these things do. Bobby and I were on the sidelines the other day. We're like, we're about four or five plays from a fight.
So close. We almost got with Jordan Lewis and CeeDee Lamb. So very close.
And Vasher had some things to say for one of the DBs. It's going to happen in Denver. Hopefully it's controlled.
Okay, so they've got a new coach in Nathaniel Hackett, but their last coach, Vic Fangio, at AT&T Stadium after the Broncos beat the Cowboys, said, you know, we got the blueprint. Do you think anybody will remember the blueprint? Comments. I mean, he's gone now, but it's something that carried on. And what was three of the AFC West teams ended up beating the Cowboys last year.
I mean, I don't know that'll carry over to that specific practice, because that was something like Fangio specifically said. I mean, unless somebody just decides to on the field start talking trash and call him back to it, mm-hmm. probably. But otherwise, just like on its own, probably not. But I mean, there's. Plenty of storylines there. I mean, Randy Gregory's not going to practice, but he'll be over there.
What's wrong with Randy?
He had a shoulder surgery this offseason. So he's still coming back from that.
Okay, so he's been on the pup list.
Yep, still coming back from that. But, yeah, you know, that was kind of where the season started to turn last year, was Denver. And so, I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of an energy there, I'm sure, for them. But I'm putting my money on John Ridgeway as the first fight we see out there.
I think it's cool that the Cowboys are going to bring those red, white, and blue helmets over there to go up against Denver this week.
And they're going to do the same. No. Yeah, you no. get those bicentennial no. helmets no. again. No. That went so well last time.
No.
It's just kind of interesting that they're doing these joint practices, because the practices are going to be more interesting than those games. Fans, I mean, like, yes.
That's true.
Like, I want to see what a Dak Prescott is doing with Jalen Tolbert against another team. You know, like, from what I've seen out here, it looks like, you know, their camaraderie, their relationship has kind of grown, and it looks like they're on the same page and the rapport is there. But let's see that against another team, and you're not going to see that in the game. The game is going to be, you know, Cooper Rush, Will Greer, a lot of guys like that. I mean, I don't expect to see many starters there, but that's kind of where they want to get their work in, is in that practice.
Ones-on-ones.
And Russ. It's so funny, because it's like, I feel like just from the times when other teams have come out here to practice, like, you almost are surprised if there isn't a fight when one of the teams are out there. Like, if it just goes smoothly and everybody just gets their work done, and hey, maybe it happens with Denver, I don't know, but I'm not expecting it. Like, I'll be surprised if there isn't some type of fight, you know? And for the social media side of it, there's a part of me that kind of enjoys it. As long as no one gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
sometimes you need Jerry Jones to be having a conversation with Dez Bryant off this side, and Dez looks over and it's like, hold on, Jerry, I'll be back, and has to put his helmet on to go run out there and get involved, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, though. I mean, like, and we kind of referenced it earlier. I think part of what the blueprint, if anything, Denver gave them was not schematic. The blueprint Denver gave the rest of the league was punch this team in the mouth. If you punched that team in the mouth last year, if you played blue-collar physical football, the Cowboys struggled. And so, if anything, that was the blueprint they gave them. And so, I think they really set out for the guys that we have this year. We want them to be tough. We want tough football players mean football players. I think you saw that with a lot of the guys they drafted, their first several picks. So I'll be interested to see what that collection of angrier football players gets you in a mixed practice for the first time.
Denver did it, and San Francisco did it better.
Yeah.
You know, they're better at that game than Denver was.
Arizona played you physically. Kansas City played you physically. That was what they struggled with all
Raiders.
Last year. Yeah.
The Raiders.
The Patrick Surtain CeeDee Lamb matchup is one that I think will be interesting to watch in practice. And the Surtain thing, just because that's who the Cowboys wanted, and they had to settle for having Micah Parsons. So that's another one that I always think when I think of the Broncos.
Talk about sometimes the luck going your way. Look, Patrick Surtain is going to be a fantastic Pro Bowl player for a lot of years. I love him, and that was the guy I would have. But could have told me Micah Parsons would do all that he's – he just couldn't have told me. I mean, just what an incredible –
I knew it.
Incredible weapon. Outside of Bobby.
Yeah, I knew that, it.
That. Well, two things worked out
I actually
great.
Projected 15 sacks. It kind of disappointed me.
Oh, yeah, what a bum.
I mean, think about it. If you're in the draft room and you're like, God, I can't believe those two corners left. We're going to have to go with Micah. And there's somebody just said, well – you know Micah rushes the passer, right? He didn't do it last year, but Penn State was going to have him rush the passer.
And Nick, they were even like, we can trade back even a spot if you want.
Yeah, if you want to, we'll trade
NFC
back.
East
yeah. And also, don't worry about the corners because Diggs is going to get 11 picks this year. So Will, all right, Jerry, T? Okay.
Will talked about that. Talked about how, like, yeah, we thought he could rush the passer just based off of the homework that we did and everything else, but he's like, did we think it was going to be to that level? No. Like, there were just certain things we weren't going to be able to know until he got there, but – you know, he talked about that, too, that, yeah, we thought he had the ability to, but, of course, like, nobody could have totally seen that.
You guys think he has that success without Dan Quinn? Like, do you think Micah just has the same success on
any
team?
Not with Mike Nolan, no.
No, because, I mean, his pass, I don't know that the previous regime even.
Or even another team, I mean.
Fire that some to pass.
I'm just saying, I don't know that anybody else is even, when the defensive line room got so thin, I don't know that other teams, I think the majority of other teams would not have thought to even just put his hand in the dirt the second week out.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a risky move that play, you know, that went really well. But, I mean, he's, like, his sacks were split pretty evenly. He got, like, half of them last year. Hand in the dirt, half of them blitzing. So, I mean, they've used him the exact right way, and I think they're going to continue to get the most out of him.
Ridgeway's a good candidate for the fight, but Micah's not too far off of that. I don't think he will actually sit there and get in a fight, but it'll kind of start there.
He was annoyed the other day out here at practice.
Yeah.
He was chirping at Scott McCurley, the linebacker's coach, about how little the flags were being thrown for him.
And Matt is at Biotish, wasn't it? He was went into their huddle, and, you know, Peacemaker Tank had to kind of stop.
Mike had a funny line when he was talking to Scott McCurley about the lack of flags. He's like, I don't just end up on the ground for no reason.
Right.
He's like, I don't just end up there. Somebody's putting me there.
I think that's done by design. I think the coaches tell uncertain things, let the refs let stuff go, because they know that Mike is going to deal with that during
the season.
Of course,
we always know Jordan Lewis is ready to get chippy, too.
Yeah.
So
if Mike kind of gets to Russell Wilson early, and then you know how the quarterbacks just keep on going.
Yeah.
That could end up irking Micah Parsons, and you know, we'll see what happens from there.
He hits
Micah Parsons singing Future songs on the ground.
Go back to draft day. Bobby, stop. Stop it.
Jeez.
Stop it. You save it for the media master and you at Clarence, okay? Save it for that one. When I think about draft day, how many Cowboy fans were bummed about Micah Parsons and weren't happy? Also reminded me a lot of when Zach Martin was drafted.
I knew you were going to say
They wanted Johnny Manziel. And I still think about how Jerry was out here in Oxnard still pining about Johnny. Still pining about Johnny. But I just think about that. Just like you think about the –
why do we not hear that anymore? That as much about that story. What changed? Something happened.
I'm going to interview Zach Martin later on here. I'm going to ask him. Thing I want to ask him is, did you ever track Johnny's career?
Mm-hmm.
And what did your circle of friends
say? He says,
say?
I don't watch that league.
He just pulls something. He's got a sheet like in his wallet. If he just keeps tabs on stuff like that, he's like, what he's been doing lately.
I do wonder, just like, you know, man, you guys, the owner was pining for this guy.
But he was the only one, even in the room, right?
Yes. Shazier was more the threat than Johnny.
They wanted three defensive guys. One of them was Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. Other one was Barr. And the third one was Ryan Shazier.
The more you hear about the behind the scenes on that, the more you find out it wasn't as close as Jerry Jones likes a good story. So he wants to kind of get that out there, get that, like, so people will always talk, oh, well, they might have done this. They weren't really that close to doing that.
Well, Jerry
was interested. But
Jerry, like, undressed Steven right there. And he said, you know what, I didn't get to where I am making middle-of-the-road decisions. And that's exactly what you just did, middle-of-the-road decision. You know, it's like just getting a seven-time Pro Bowler or All-Pro.
Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, Hall of Famer.
At the end of the day, that's like, I mean, you think about it. So Aaron Donald and Zach Martin are two guys out of that class will be Hall of Famers. There's a couple other – one or two other guys out of that class are pretty good too. But
Beckham, I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame.
No. Anthony Barr was drafted before all of them.
Good career. You know what? If you're the Vikings, you're not looking back saying, boy, he was a bust.
No. Right.
That was a lot of good football players in that draft. So sometimes you just get lucky enough. But the Cowboys with Michael Parsons definitely have hit on a blue-chip player, a special player. And if he stays healthy and as long as Dan Quinn is here, and if Dan Quinn ends up leaving, because I thought Dan Quinn was going to get the Bronco job, but he didn't. But, you know, maybe you got to keep Joe Witt. Somebody can keep this thing going with Micah Parsons. Hey, look, fun times. Yeah. I appreciate you guys. John Machota, Bobby Belt, the first ever. The Dr. Dre of .com writers. He is Nick Eatman. Go ahead, take it, baby. See you before Slim Shady.
We'll see you at the next episode. All right.
That's the walk-off right here, Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!